So what we're doing each year, we will have a business meeting, and we typically will have a deacon or two. This year it's one deacon. Brother Mike Jemanski is scheduled to rotate off, but we'll be bringing in another one. And so I want to just go over and remind you, I think these are just, again, this is just a review. Most of us know what the Bible lays out here. There are quite a few qualifications for a deacon, and I believe that's because God knows how important it is for the servant of the local church to have a reputation of faithfulness, to have a reputation of wanting to walk with God and walk in the Spirit and to be used of the Lord. I just really believe that. And so he lays it out for the pastor. I mentioned there's about 22 qualifications that are listed for the pastor when you combine the Titus and the Timothy accounts. And then there's probably around 12 for the deacon. And I combined them. The handout is available in the foyer. You can grab one of these. I kind of condensed it down to 8. That would include maybe 2 or 3 in one of the points, but as we consider the ministry and the office of a deacon. So again, if you found your place there, again, it's 1 Timothy chapter 3, and then we are also looking at Acts chapter 6. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this evening. We are again just thankful for your forgiveness in our lives. And I pray that our hearts would be clean and our minds would be pure, and that we would truly just hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Aren't you thankful that Scripture is profitable unto all men? All Scripture. And for instance, Brother Ledbetter went to Proverbs 31 this morning. The context of Proverbs 31 is describing a godly woman. I want you to know, as he preached and taught on that verse about and her tongue is the law of kindness, the Holy Spirit was speaking right to me. So when we look at the qualifications of a pastor or the qualifications of a deacon, I want you to know God will speak to you through passages that may not be talking about directly you. So just always know, don't ever get into a message or a situation, that doesn't pertain to me. God's word will speak. It will help you in your season of life. Always be open to the Word of God. And I believe we all can grow from these qualifications of a deacon. Somebody remind we as a quick review here, as we look at deacons and chapter 3 specifically, it was beginning and again, verse 8, it says, likewise, after talking about the qualifications of a pastor, must the deacons. So I'm going to stop right there. What is the true definition in a concise way of a deacon? Somebody tell me. A deacon is a servant. Very good. That is the best way to sum up a deacon. A deacon is someone that God works in their heart, and the church sees them as someone that can serve in the local church as someone who is dependable, someone who is faithful, someone who is truly committed to the Lord and to the health of the local church. Very selfless position. It's the position and office of a servant. Now, the under shepherd is supposed to be a servant too, because we're all supposed to be servants. But the technical aspect of an under shepherd is an overseer. Again, like I said, an under shepherd who helps to the care of the flock. And as he's doing that, God is saying, I'm going to put the office of a servant within the local church to help the pastor fulfill his calling. In which we've looked at that in Acts chapter 6. What are the two things that the apostles really wanted to give most of their attention to, so that in that way the deacons could do other things? What were those two main things? Do you remember? Ministry of the word. And what was the other one? Prayer. So that was to be the main focus. Not the only thing they did, but that certainly was a focus. And so we looked at those. Now, I'm going to begin reading here in verse 8. It says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith and a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So let's begin looking. First of all, we know that point one we looked at last week was that it's just an office of being able to serve. I have it listed here. A deacon is the office of a servant in the local church that functions as an extension of the pastor's heart, hands, and mind in the practical needs of helping minister to the whole flock, to the whole membership, the whole body of Christ. And we looked at this relationship between the pastor and deacon is close and it's complementary. God did not put deacons in the church to tell the pastor what to do. There's sadly a lot of churches become that. It's a deacon ruled church, and I'm telling you that it won't have the power of God on it. The deacons are not there for that purpose. They're there to serve. And yes, if the pastor does something immoral, unbiblical, yes, by all means, it's the responsibility of a deacon to be able to question the pastor and talk to them about that. And if the pastor is not there, the deacons are there to be set like a pulpit committee and to help the church navigate and looking for at least a temporary pastor. Those things are certainly in place. But again, the main reason for a deacon to be there is to be a help, to be an encouragement, to take on the role of a servant. The deacons seek to relieve the pastor of certain tasks so that he can give more time to studying the Word and prayer. We also looked at they were to be Spirit-filled men. When they, back in Acts chapter 6, what the apostles told the people, said, look, I want you, and that's what we still do 2,000 years later, except I'm not an apostle, okay? I'm just an under-shepherd. I'm just an elder, an overseer of the local church. But what we still do is we tell the church, look out among you, the local church, the membership. And this is what they told them, look out among you and do what? Find men who are of an honest report. I mean, they have a good reputation established already. They've been proven, as Timothy talked about. And I love this. Full of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, what does that look like? Just look at the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And then, not only full of the Holy Ghost, but and wisdom. Wisdom, which comes with certainly life and experience. We certainly know that wisdom ultimately comes from the Lord. But they were selected out from the people. And then what happened was the apostles appointed them. So the leaders took the names and considered the names that were given. And the ones that were given in Acts, we know, again, Philip and Stephen, and there were some others in there that I'm not going to read off for sake of time, but were selected for the needs of the widows, of the Grecians, and other areas of need in the local church. So, again, these deacons were selected based upon their testimony of integrity and faithfulness to the Word of God and their faithfulness to the local church. We also looked at they were serious-minded. Okay, that was point number three. What does that word grave mean there in 1 Timothy chapter 3? It says they were to be grave. That means just to be respectable, worthy to be respected in the Lord's work. They had a moral character. They had a public reputation, which is essential for being a leader. Not only respectable, but fourth, sound speech. Talk about another great message was even this morning in Sunday school. Brother Ledbetter was talking about how our words are so important. But sound speech, and there in Timothy, it talks about not double-tongued. And that's where we understand as God's people, we don't ever want to be double-tongued people. What does a double-tongued person do? They say one thing to somebody and then a different thing to someone else. So they're basically representing two different ideas, and they're not being consistent. And that's where gossip really begins. Slander, it's just not a good thing. And so we have to always guard against that. But this is one of the qualifications. There is a conviction in their hearts, and there is compassion in their speech. They want the best for those around them spiritually, and they're not going to be one of those that hops on a bandwagon of slandering someone. I think of the Proverbs. Isn't the Proverbs that says that when someone is trying to like slander another brother or sister in Christ, the Proverbs says we're supposed to respond with an angry look. Like, you know, Kathy, you give me an angry look, I'm going to say, let me think of somebody here that I know I can pick on. Amen. Jeff. All right, Jeff. Did you see that Jeff today? Let me tell you what I think about that Jeff. Now, you're not supposed to be smiling. You need to give me an angry look, Miss Kathy. Well, in that case, you'd give me an angry look. Well, but what is the Bible teaching? The Bible teaching is that we don't need to be listening to slander. It's not just the idea of me not slandering, but it's me not listening to it, not participating in it. And I've had to. And I tell you, it's a great reminder. Let me just put this out there. Even with our children, you know, children will quickly, and they just need to be taught. It's not anything it's just part of living life. But they may be talking about somebody else that got in trouble in class. Oh, so-and-so was bad tonight. Knowing they probably were too. But you know, it's like, well, listen, and I try to tell my kids, look, we don't need to hear that. Did you pray for them? Did they make it right? Everything okay? What is the point? The point is that even as God's people, sometimes we have a tendency just want to point out people's bad. That doesn't need to be. No double tongued. And then we talked about the deacon is to be sober, not given to much wine. That is, not to be attached to it, under its influence. And how important it is to not be controlled by wine or, for that matter, any substance. Talked about how these men are to be clear-minded always at any given time and not to be altered by intoxicating drink. I always appreciate it when I go into a state park and it's not obeyed most of the time, but it says no intoxicants allowed. I like that. Just leave the intoxicants out of here, okay? Family atmosphere. And so what are they talking about? They're talking about alcohol, of course. It is a form of poison. But we just want to, especially as a leader, and I talked about that last week. I'm not going to go all over that again. But a servant leader chooses to abstain from drinking alcohol as a testimony of just being above reproach. And it's safe, it's wise, and boy, I tell you, there's been just too many testimonies of how that stuff is just like a rattlesnake, and it destroys people's lives. And we just want to be always mindful of that as God's people. Then we talked about being satisfied. Notice what the Bible says, not greedy of filthy lucre there in 1 Timothy. It states clearly here in the end of verse 8, not greedy of filthy lucre. We're talking about that's somebody that's not money hungry. They're just not all set on being rich. That's not their focus. It even goes deeper. Basically, it's talking about somebody that's willing to be deceptive in order to get rich and to get gain. They're basically obsessed with money. None of God's people should be that way, but especially servant leaders in the church. And we all know what is the antidote for the love of money. What is it? Contentment. Somebody else said it is contentment. It is being satisfied with what the Lord has given us. And these men are entrusted as deacons of handling finances of the church and making decisions regarding finances, certainly counting the tithes and offerings. And so it is a blessing when a deacon, and we know that that's the qualification, has that characteristic. And then two more tonight as I finish up this reviewing over the qualifications and characteristics. Number seven is the deacon should be a soul winner. A soul winner. You say, where do I get that from? Notice over in the book of Acts, chapter 6. We were just looking there. Acts chapter 6. Let me explain this. A soul winner, I believe, is speaking of someone who is ready, and not only ready, but willing, and not only willing, but has a desire to lead people to Christ. It's so important that that a deacon be ready to counsel someone that's inquiring about salvation. Notice chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Acts chapter 6. Notice as the deacons have been chosen here, it says whom they set before, set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And then Stephen. Notice what Stephen is. Stephen is one of the deacons, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now don't miss verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue. They're coming up to oppose the gospel. You got the Libertines, you got the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, and Cilicia, and Asia. Notice what they were doing. At the end of verse 9, what does the Bible say? They were disputing with Stephen. They were debating him. They were trying to go oppose him and what he was teaching about the gospel. But verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. This is a man that was not arrogant. He was not mean-spirited, but he just gave them the word of God. And he gave it with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I believe a deacon is someone that certainly needs to be able to handle the word with humility and love, but with boldness. I think of not only Stephen here, but then I think of Philip. Look over Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is where Philip would get the call to the Ethiopian eunuch. And if you notice Acts chapter 8, notice verse 35. The man was at the eunuch there in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That was a deacon. Philip was a deacon. Stephen was a deacon. Those other ones. And so I think it's safe and certainly accurate for us to conclude that a deacon, a servant of the church, needs to be someone who is ready to open up the Bible and lead people to Christ. And not only to do that, but be looking for opportunities. And then closing tonight, not only soul winner, but number eight, we must look at the spouse. The spouse, what kind of spouse he is. Is he a good husband? And then not only is he a good husband, but is his wife one who walks with the Lord? So I'm going to go back over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. You say, Pastor, you sure are picky. Listen, I don't want to be any pickier than the Bible. We just want to follow the Word of God. It's laid out in Scripture. And we just want to honor what the Bible teaches. And so we must look at these things. 1 Timothy chapter 3 again, and then we're going to look there again on what he says. All right, if you're there, we're going to look there even at verse 11. It says, even so must their wives be grave. Again, that word grave is the idea of respectable. Has respect in the local church. They're not slanderers. Again, words, they're known by a lady, a sister who is compassionate with her words, humble with her words, not a critical spirit, not putting down others, but just, you know, really wise with the words, but also sober. It says there to be sober. I mean, it means to be clear-minded, vigilant, awake to the needs of those around them. And with a deacon's wife, it's important for her to be alert on the needs in the local church, especially among the women, the sisters in Christ. I think that's so important. And so that's why I believe it's listed. And then it just says faithful in all things. That's just, you can just count on them, not as being someone that's perfect, as that's impossible for anybody, any of us, but just simply there's a testimony of being faithful, dependable. And I trust that God will speak to us as well in this area. Could you be considered as one, and can I be considered as one tonight that's faithful in all things? I fail, you fail, but this is a worthy goal to shoot for, to seek to be faithful in all things. And you can just fill in the blank for the all things. I mean, faithful in your Bible reading and prayer, faithful in loving your family, faithful in being to the local church and the worship services and the outreaches of the church and just the fellowships, just being faithful, being a person that is present and faithful in that way. Not only that, but we're reminded that the deacons are to be the husband of one wife. Now, they're are different views on this, but I will tell you one of the main ones that I believe that we see here is that this husband is certainly a one woman man. Okay? He is not known for flirting. He's not known for being inappropriate. There's a testimony that has been established through his life of being married many years and being faithful to that wife. And I believe he is a spirit-filled man who leads his family well. And he loves his wife. He's faithful to her. He shepherds the heart of his children. And he's the spiritual leader of his home. And I'll say this. Like Brother Ledbetter said a couple times over the past couple messages, this is impossible without grace. Without the supernatural power of God, none of this is possible. And so what we do is we say, Lord, by your grace, I want to be faithful like this. And so as we pray towards bringing in the next deacon, let's just be mindful of these. But I want to say, can I say this just as much as lovingly as I can? As we consider the deacons in our church, let's don't forget to consider our own hearts. Are we following in the pattern of these characteristics? Let's be that way. And God will be glorified. The local church will be healthier because of it. And of course, the Holy Spirit will not be suppressed and quenched as I know He can be. But he doesn't want to be. So these are for you to review. I have these again in the foyer. We have a stack of the handouts. It's just a front and back. I tried to make the font 16 so we can all see these well. All right. I have a little bit of a confession to make. I crossed into a threshold for the first time, and just a kind of a landmark time in my life. I debate on whether I would even tell y'all. I bought my first pair of reading glasses. Thank you. Amen. Welcome in. That's right. Dollar Tree special. Amen. I did only have the 1.25 though, okay? So hopefully I'll just stick around that for a little bit. But no, we did make those nice for you to read. But I thank you, church, for being faithful. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God.